Okay, welcome everybody to our special Shir. It is Monday morning and we are in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, the holy city of Jerusalem. Our Shir today is called Be of the Students of Aaron, Yerushalayim, the city of Shalom. I'm dedicating the Shir Zuschus for Refuah Shleimah for Ben Sion Ben Chaya, a man of Shalom. B'soch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, you should be Zoche to Refuah Shleimah and the Zuschus of our Torah out of the holy city. So the Rosh Hashiva of Herschel Shachter Shlita mentioned at the end of his first morning Shir, we should all move to Eretz Yisrael. That's how he ended off. Rav Shai Shachter just mentioned the group of Christians who were traveling on the plane with us. So I was sitting next to a couple from Omaha, Nebraska, and they told me that they are traveling. It was me at the window, and then the wife, Evelyn, a very, very, very pleasant woman, and then her husband next to her, and they're traveling for the first time. They've never been to Israel, and I was so excited for them, trying to explain why I was so excited. I told them, the food is wonderful. The people are wonderful. It's hard to express and explain. I did not even attempt to relay the Kedusha. Kedusha is Eretz Yisrael, but I said what a special time they were going to have. And when we landed, and when I saw Tel Aviv out the window, I said, I see land. And when the plane landed, I said to her, welcome. It's an interesting thing to say welcome. I thought of it after, because generally, when do you say welcome? Vayar Avram Shlosha, Vihine Shlosha, Anashim Bitzavim Allah. Vayar, Vayar Atzlequasam, Vayishtachu Arza. When do you say welcome? Oh, when you welcome someone to your own home, when you're going as a visitor, you don't say to the person, welcome, we arrived, the flight's over, I'm tired, welcome means, wow, you're coming to my home. And it struck me after what my reaction to her was when the plane touched down. I looked at her and I said, welcome. And then after, she introduced me to another friend of hers. This is my seat, maybe you're sitting together. So she said to me, the other woman, is this your home? So I said, it's my home away from home. That's Yerushalayim. That's Eretz Yisrael. Someone downstairs said to me, what's your connection to Eretz Yisrael? I said, I'm Jewish. You know, when I woke up this morning, finally I gave up. I was figuring I'm not going to be able to sleep. So I said, enough Bittelsman, just get out of bed. I kept thinking, I wasn't trying to be Mevatelsman. I kept thinking, I'm going to be able to fall back asleep. So finally, at 5 to 6, I opened the shades. There's a second room off our room. I opened the window, and I felt the air, and I looked out the window, and mamash, I was zocha to see the sun rising. Hashem said, get out of bed at the exact right time. What motivated me at that minute? I was up most of the night, and the sun is rising over Yerushalayim. And straight from my room, I can see Har Tzofim, Mount Scopus. There's another mountain, I don't remember what it's called, the Menashe of Shai Shachter downstairs, he says, there's no. And then there's Har Zeisim. And nestled in the middle, Yerushalayim, Harim, Saviv, Lav Hashem, Saviv, Amo, Me'ata, Var Olam. And there's Har Habayis. And you can envision in your head Rabbi Akiva with his contemporaries, Kevan, Shei, Gilar, Tzofim, Karu, Bigdayim. We just had a Shira and Kriya. Because they came to Mount Scopus and they looked down at Har Habayis, they tear Kriya. He's Chil of Kos. They begin to cry. And standing at my window with the morning air, and taking in the scene, the sun is rising. I say in davening, I'm a chalish b'tuva b'chol yom tamid. I see our tzofim, and I see the other mountain, which Rachmana Litzlan is important to Christians. I remember learning that 2 years ago on the tour of the Chorba. I see our zaysim, where my husband's paternal grandparents and so many tzaddikei Yisrael are buried. And you see the dome of the rock.
It spoils it.
What?
It spoils it.
You could imagine the impact of davening Shachus there this morning. One more word. So my very, very lovely Christian friend wanted to show me her pamphlet and where they're going for these 10 days on the tour. So it's a very Christian, religious-themed tour. They're going to all different places. So in Jerusalem, it's so interesting because Rav Shai Shachter said they asked him, what are you speaking about? It was hard to explain. So what am I speaking about? It's very easy because when I saw the page of Jerusalem, you know what it said? Jerusalem is the city of peace. I said to her, oh, That's my lecture tomorrow morning in Jerusalem, the city of peace. So let's talk about Yerushalayim, the city of peace. And the pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu, and I'm on the first page of your handout, such beautiful psukim by the Navi, v'haya b'achris hayamim, will be in the end of days, nachon yeh, har beis Hashem, b'rosh harim. It won't be that there's har tzofim, and there's the mountain with the Christian tower, and there's har azaisim, we can't even go in a normal fashion for fear of our life, and there will be the Dome of the Rock. And the end of days, the Har Beis Hashem, the mountain with the house of God, will be established at the top of mountains. V'nisam b'gva'as will be exalted above the hills. V'naru elav kol hagayim. Look at this. All nations will stream to this mountain. V'halchu amim rabim. Many nations will go. V'amru, and they will say, l'chu, let's go. V'na'ala al Har Hashem, al Beis Elokei Yaakov. We want to go. Everybody's going to say, like my seatmate, I want to go to the mountain of the house of God, the Yarenu Midrachav. We will learn from her ways. We will go in her path. Because from Tzion comes Torah, Udvar Hashem, Yerushalayim, the word of God from Jerusalem. And God will judge between nation and nation, and he will prove disputes between nations, and they will beat their swords into plowshares. Very, very famous pasuk. Lo yisa goyel goy charav. And the end of days, what we tear Kriya for today won't be any longer. V'loyim meduad mechama. Mechama will be abolished. There won't be such a thing. The Navi speaks of the ultimate peace that will only be attained in this city and in this land in the end of days with the coming of Mashiach. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. To be learning together here in Yerushalayim, Yerakadosh, Udvar Hashem, mi Yerushalayim. And the word of God from Yerushalayim, it is no accident that the word Shalom is inherent, is built in, is the root word of Yerushalayim. And Shabbos morning, when Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kok, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was the chief rabbi of Yafo, a man stepped up to the bima, imagine where I'm standing, and he interrupted the Torah reading, and he declared to the Kehila, at this very moment, Shmuel the cobbler is working, and he is desecrating Shabbos. Rav Kook immediately approached the bima, the people were very angry, and Rav Kook says that the conclusion to prayers, we will go visit Shmuel the cobbler, but only on condition that everybody follows what I do. You must do what I do. So they finished Tefillah Shachos, they finished Tefillah Musaf, and at the end of davening, they went to visit Shmuel the cobbler. Rav Kook approached Shmuel, and he said to him, good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom, Reb Shmuel. And he continued on his way. Now the deal was, everybody had to emulate and imitate Rav Kook. One by one, each member of the Kehila passed by Reb Shmuel the cobbler. They said to him, Shabbat Shalom, Shmuel. And they went. They left. That was the end of their protest against the Chil Shabbos coming out of Eretz Yisrael. And afterwards, Shmuel, shortly thereafter, shows up at the home of Rav Kook, and he said, I have a large family, and I am forced to work on Shabbos. I have to support them. Rav Kook says, we will come up with an agreement. They raised enough money from the Kehila to make up for whatever he would lose from not working on Shabbos. It's brought down in the beautiful book, An Angel Amongst Men, biography of Rav Kook, that's all. And it's told that Rav Shmuel, the cobbler, never worked on Shabbos again. 10 generations after creation, Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos, 10 generations from Adam to Noah, the world was washed away in the deluge. We all know the story. Oh, we're going to be talking about Noah on Wednesday. Stay tuned. The world was washed away in the time of Noah. That was 1,656 years after creation. And 1,656 years later, the people of the land were dispersed, their languages were mixed up, and that became known as Dar HaFlaga, the generation of disunion. So it's interesting, because one was washed away and obliterated, and Noah comes out of the Teva, and there's nothing left, everything's destroyed. And the other one, the people are scattered to the ends of the earth, and their languages are mixed up, but they saved their lives. Why? So the Pasuk tells us in regard to these people, V'yehi kol ha'aretz safa achas udvar machadim. Tells us about the Dar HaFlaga, they were safa achas, they spoke one language, udvar machadim, they were unified in their words. But Rashi says, how were they unified? They were unified in coming up with a plan to rebel against Ribbono Shel Olam. So very nice, they're of one mind, they're all unified. What are they unified for? What are they unified for? I'm going to beat God, I'm going to build a tower, I'm going to go against God. They were kofar b'ikar, they absolutely rejected the ikar, the mouth of Shemayim. They were punished with dispersion. And the people of the Darmabel were absolutely washed away. Nobody survived. Rabbeinu Bacha points out they weren't worthy of being saved. There were only eight righteous. Noach, Naama, little Torah trivia, his wife's name was Naama, Shem, Cham, Yafes, three daughters, and now that makes eight. There were not even two righteous people to save the generation. So Chazal tell us, look at your source, please. Rashi to Bereishis, Perikir Aleph, Pasuk Tes. It says Rashi to Bereishis 11:9. They were scattered. Limeg, She'enam, Chedek, Lolam, Haba. So you should know that the people of Dar Flago were scattered. They don't have a portion in the world to come. But then Rashi says, V'chi Ezo Kasha, which is worse? Shall Dar HaMabel or Shall Dar Flago? Which people were worse? The people of the flood or the people who were rebelling against God and building a tower? Elu lo pashtu yad ba'ikar. Dar HaFlago did not send forth their hand. No. Dar HaMabel did not send forth their hand against God. They sent forth their hand against who? Fellow men. Because I'll tell us their fate was sealed because of Gaza. The Elu Pashtu, Yabeg Iker. And the latter, Dar HaFlaga, they rejected and rebelled directly against the Almighty God. Lihi Lachimba, Kaviyacha, could you imagine? They think they're going to go to war against the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Elu Nishtafu, and these were washed away. The Elu Lo Nevdu Men Olam, these people were not wiped away from the earth. So I don't understand, says Rashi. The people who were Kofar Be'iker were allowed to live. Okay, they were exiled. Maybe you have to go to the Mikvah, so you can't talk to your neighbor anymore. But Lamaisa, what everybody wants is to save their life, and their lives were saved. And these people, who maybe on some level believed in Ribbono Shel Olam, but they rebelled against him, they were washed away. Elah Shadar Mabel Haya Gazlanim. They were thieves. V'haisa Miriva B'nehem. Not only were they thieves, keywords, Miriva B'nehem. What happens when Avraham Avinu splits from Lot? What does he tell him? Al na tehi miriva beinu veinecha. We shouldn't be quarreling. The people of Dar Mabel, not only were they thieves, they pasha couldn't get along. I'm going to explore in our shir. We don't have to explore in our shir. I already told you what I saw from my window. We heard of Shai Shechter Shir on Teren Kriya when you see the mask. What happens, Rachmana Litzlan, when yesh miriva? When we lack shalom, what happens to the city of shalom? Lekach ne'avdu. Therefore, they were washed away. Ve'elu haya nohagim ahava ve'reus b'neim. It's true they rebelled against God. It's true they thought we could fight the Almighty. I'm going to have a tank, and I'm going to have a sword, and I'm going to have a spear and a bow, and I'm going to fight the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's impossible. And God rewarded them with life. Hayu nohagim ahava ve'reus b'neim. They were nice. They loved other people. They were friends with each other. Shenemar had as well. You know, Safa Achas Udvar Machadim. They were unified. La Madita Shesanui Hamachlokas. The God Hashem, look at this. From Dar Flago, we learned something. From these Rishayim, who were Kofar Be'iker, we learned something. And what do we learn? That Machlokas is despised, and how great is Shalom. The Mishnah tells us in Perkei Avos, it's on your handout, Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yerbeis, Hillel Omer, Hillel used to say, Heve mitalmidav shel Aaron, very, very famous Mishnah, we're going to talk about a little bit. You should be of the students of Aaron. No, you should be the students, and now you should be like Aaron. Why? It's impossible to be like Aaron, but you could go to Aaron's school. Ohev shalom v'rodev shalom, ohev esabrius v'makarv v'natar. You should love peace. You should passively love peace. It's not enough to be passive. Rodev Shalom is a new stage. What stage is that? You should actively pursue peace. Ohev esabrios. You should just love creatures, love creations. I'll tell you a really cute PS to the story. The woman next to me is really so nice. I really hope they have a very meaningful trip here. At the end of the flight, she says to me, you're very sweet. No, that was in the middle. I was in the window. I had to disturb them a few times to get up. I said, thank you so much. And I really thought to myself, Eza hu mechubad ha-mechaved esabrios. Because I'll tell her, so you have to have respect for all people. And at the end, she said to me, you're so sweet. I thought, Baruch Hashem, it's an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. I don't know, she lives in Omaha, Nebraska, how much interaction she has with from Yiddin. And here she's going to a country of Yiddin. And she said to me, you're very sweet. And at the end of the flight, she said to me, may I hug you? Oh, if it's a brios, you have to love people. Uma carve on the Torah. So it was cute. My son, what's at me? My 19-year-old, he says, so were you, talking Bible the whole time? I said, no, we didn't. She just told me what chapter they're up to in sermon, chapter 40 of Genesis. I told you today we finished chapter 22. Didn't get any theology. What does the Bartanura say on this Mishnah? Beautiful, beautiful Bartanura. Look inside, please. It's right in your hand. You should be of the students of Aaron. You should love peace and you pursue it. So we've already established why the students of Aaron, because he can't be Aaron. Let's be realistic. No, and if I work my whole life, I'm not going to be Aaron Cohen. But I could certainly go to school and learn how to be like Aaron. And why Ohev and Rodev? One is passive and one is a different stage. What's the next stage? You have to be actively pursue peace. But look at this Bartanura. Famous commentator on the Mishnah, Peirusha ba'Avos Rabbi Nassan. So in the Peirush of Avos Rabbi Nassan, we are taught, Keitzer haya Aaron Ohev Shalom, how did he love peace? And now it's going to tell me that he was active. So to love peace is to specifically memela be active. Kishahaya roa shnei bnei adam is quoted him when he saw two men arguing. He went to each one without the knowledge of his friend. Va'omerlo. So Reuven and Shimon are in an argument. So Aaron would go to Reuven. Shimon doesn't know. He would go to Shimon. Reuven doesn't know. Va'omerlo. Re'echa vercha eichu mischaret. Look at your friend. He has such charata, regret, and he's hitting himself. Al shechata lecha. He sinned to you. Vehu omer li. Look at this. He told me, she'avo elecha shetimchalo. He asked me to come as an emissary. Could you have mechila? Could you forgive him? And so he went to Reuven and he told Reuven the story. And he went to Shimon and he told Shimon the story. So each one thinks the other one wants to be mevater. Each one thinks he wants to be my friend. And we told kach kashahaya pogim zebezeh. So they would meet each other, and what would they do? Kiss. Give me a kiss. I'm your friend. The Mishnah says it's not only enough. Now here I'm not talking about my nice Christian friend on the airplane, because it's not our job to go around and being makariv people, but here we're talking about Jews, to bring another Jew close to Torah. If he knew, if Aaron HaKohen knew someone did a grave sin. So there's two options when someone does a grave sin. There's the option of let's throw rocks because the guy's driving on Shabbos. How effective do you think you're going to be in the car of that person to Torah? You know what that person's going to say? Look at those fanatics. Look at those Torah observant Jews. They think the way to peace is to throw rocks. I want nothing to do with this Shabbat. You're going to bring someone close to Torah if you stone them. Or you could go and say, Reb Shmuel the cobbler, Shabbat Shalom. What did Aaron do? He knew the person was a sinner. Hayim mischaber ima. What's the root word? Mitchaber. Chaver. He would go as a friend. Umaralo panim tzuhuvos. He showed him a shining countenance. He didn't say, you sinner. You worthless creature. Shining countenance. Vahaya also adam mispayish. Aaron's being so nice to him, the guy feels embarrassed. How did Shmuel the cobbler feel? Embarrassed. The Omer, and the man says in his head, Ilu haya yoder tzadik za masai harayim. If this tzadik knew my bad deeds, kama haya misrachik mimeni, he wouldn't be a friend of mine, he would be running away from me. So the man has charata, and the man has busha, and the man says, if Aaron HaKohen knew what I was doing, he would be running. Umitoch kach haya chozer lomutav. How do you bring someone close to Torah? By loving them. Ohev Shalom, you gotta love peace. In order to follow this path, this advice of Hillel. By the way, it's important that it's Hillel who teaches us this, because we're going to talk about Hillel next. It's not Stam, I don't know, somebody else. It's Dafke Hillel, and there's a reason for that. But in order to follow this path, the first thing you got to do is got to want peace. But that's passive. Then you have to be active. But you have to love people to bring them close to Torah. You have to see the good in people to bring them close to Torah. You have to see the Tova in Hashem's world to rectify what's wrong. You have to emulate the people of Dar HaFlaga who were nohig with each other, with Ahava Rish. Should we not be embarrassed? And maybe I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nah, maybe that was a wrong statement. I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I don't have Derech Eretz for a fellow Yid because he's different than me. That's how Aaron brought them back to Mutav. And Tosos Yom Tov adds, and I'm on your hand, why should you love them? Ohev Shalom, Verodev Shalom, Ohev Esa Brios. Why should you love Brios? You know why? And Rav Herschel Shachter Shlita spoke about Halachta Bedrachav and the Tzelem Elokim within earlier this morning. You know why you should love them? For a partial reason. Lafi Shehem Brios of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lafichach Ra'ui Shetahavim. There's one reason you should love them. They're God's creatures. And therefore you should love them. V'gam Shetea Hava Mizeh HaPanim V'lo Mipanim Echem. Don't have ulterior motives. You should just love them for this reason. K'gam Mipnei Hanah HaMagia L'chamem. Don't love them because you're going to benefit from them. Because you have an ulterior motive. Because they could do something for you. Just partial love them because God made them. And the Gra says, the Vilna Gaon says, Oiv Shem V'rodiv Shalom B'Yerushalmi Kutz Yerushalmi Perak Aleph of Pei Abakeh Shem V'Afeyu Bachshel Mimimkamcha. Desire peace in your place and chase after it in other places. And look what Pasuki adds on to peace. V'ahavta L'rei Acha Kamocha. If you pursue peace and you want it in your home, in your place, and you're active for peace and you're chasing after it in other places, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of the great principle of the Torah, which is to love your fellow as you love yourself. Rav Lau writes in his beautiful Yachal Yisrael commentary on Pirkei Avos, Aaron neither rebuked sinners nor withdrew from them, which we just saw inside. He loved them, and that is how he brought them close to Torah. And it's interesting when you look at the word shalom, which means peace, and which is the root word of Yerushalayim, of course. It's also the root word of shleimus, or shleimut. And when you talk about a person who has shleimus or shleimut, it is a person who is complete within himself. Shalom is the name of our city of peace. As my friend Evelyn showed me on her itinerary, they're touring Jerusalem, the city of peace. And Shalom is one of the names of the Ribono Shel Olam. So something very interesting emerges from here. When we are shalom within ourselves, bein Adam la'atzmo, okay, you got to be shleimus in here. When you are shalem, complete within yourself, you can then strive for peace between you and somebody else. Bein Adam lechaveru and him, it's peace with other shalom. And ultimately, you come to peace with Hashem of shalom, the Ribono Shel Olam. This was the way of Aaron HaKohen. Now, I mentioned that it is significant that it is Dafka Hillel who teaches us this teaching. Why Dafka Hillel? Because Hillel is known as the softer, okay, side. The convert wanted to be converted on one foot, and Hillel said, yeah, I think I can do this. Okay, but faithful to your friend, don't do to others. Rashi happens to say that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Amad Aleph, it's not in your handle because it's long, so I'm going to tell you the following story, and you may have heard of this story about Hillel. Okay? There's two men, Shehimiru Zedzeh. They have a bet with each other, and they said, "Call me Sheyelich v'yakmidas Hillel yuto arba meozus." We're going to make a bet. Whoever can go and make Hillel angry, because Hillel clearly went to the school of Aaron, and I mean that metaphorically. There is no literal school of Aaron, but we should all metaphorically be in the school of Aaron. Whoever can go and annoy Hillel, the other one owes him 400 zuz. Now that's a lot of money. They lived a long time ago, 2,000 years. Even today, who doesn't want a deal that's going to yield you 400 bucks easily? Amar achad mehem. So one of them lives up to the challenge, and he says, "Ani aknitenu. I'm going to annoy him." Also, hayam erev Shabbos haya. That day it was erev Shabbos. Now I want to tell you a great PS to this story before I even go further in the Gemara. It was erev Shabbos. Haya. Erev Shabbos Haya, v'hillel chafeif es rosho. Hillel is washing his hair. Now the cute part of the story is my daughter just said to me, I had to pack for this trip to Eretz Yisrael. So I started Thursday night, Friday's Erev Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, we're leaving. So my 13-year-old, wonderful, wonderful daughter, says, "Mommy, when you get stressed, I get stressed. What makes me stressed that makes her stressed? When I have to pack? And when it's Erev Shabbos, it's unbelievable. Here I am packing." So my mother said, "It's good. It means you're never, almost never stressed. She can identify the two times that you are. Erev Shabbos, I'm not sure much I can do about it when Shabbos is at 4 o'clock. But the packing, I was very calm." So this story takes place Erev Shabbos. That's also not an accident, the Chazal points out. It's not only Michal Horowitz that might be stressed on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara is telling you, we're doing it on purpose. It's not a Monday, it's not a Tuesday, it's not a Sunday. Dafka, he came to Hillel at the most stressful time of the week. So it's not only me. So I have to share this with my daughter. Halach va'avar al Pesach beso. So he goes to the entrance of Hillel's house. Amar. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel, where's Hillel, where's Hillel, Nis'atif, the Yatza, the Krasah. So Hillel, it's Erev Shabbos, stops his shower, and he wraps himself up, and he goes to meet him. Amarlo, Bini, What's the first thing he says to him? My son. How do you talk to your son? Ma atam avakesh, what do you want? So he said to him, She'ela yesh li lishal. I have a question to ask you. Sha'al bani sha'al. Look how nice he was talking. Ask my son, ma ask. I can't go through the whole Gemara and the Lashon of the Gemara because we're going to run out of time. Maybe I will. Mipnei ma roshein shabavlim sagal guyos. Sagal galos. Why are the Babylonians' head white? If you imagine a pressing shayla, my wife is just kashering chickens, and we found a shayla, and it's Erev Shabbos, and we're not going to have food. So I have to interrupt Hillel Shower to ask him, is it kosher? I could understand. Or is it treif? He's taking a shower, and it's Erev Shabbos, and the Zman is early, and it's the most stressful day of the week. And you couldn't wait till Sunday to ask him why the Babylonians have white heads, but we have to keep in mind that this is because of a bet. Bini, she'ela gedola sha'alta. That's a geschmack question, my son. Mipnei, and he answered him, she'ela m'chayos pikuchos. They don't have intelligent midwives. The heads don't come out right. Halach v'him timsha achas chazar v'amer. The guy goes home. He waits an hour. He goes back to Hillel. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel, Nisate Fiyata, the cross. So he goes back to the shower. He goes back to wrapping his hat. Bini, ma ta mivakesh, my son, you have a question. Amarlo, she'ela yesh li lishal. I know it's Erev Shabbos and you're taking a Shabbos, but listen, I have a really important question. Maybe now it's the shayla of the chicken's kosher. No. Why are the Tarmodian Tirutos? The Ethiopian's eyes are bleary. I couldn't wait to Yom Rishon when I came to Beis Medrash to ask the Shaila of the God Aldar. I need to know right now. She'ela gedol sha'alta. Wow, what a great question, said Hillel. They are surrounded by sand. It reflects their eyes. He went home. He waited an hour. The whole story, Mikan Hillel wraps his head, goes out, my son, what are you asking? I have a question. Why do the Afrikaim have wide feet? Good question. They live between the bays. Amarlo, sha'elos har beyesh li lishol. The man said, I got a lot of questions to ask you. Hillel, mis yarei ani shema tichos. I'm afraid. Maybe you'll become angry at me. Nis'atef, listen to the next words. He wrapped himself. I didn't say let's continue this on Sunday. V'yashav lifanov. Hillel takes a seat. The Ethiopians, the Bavlim, who else? The Africans. Kol she'elo she'esh l'chalish al sha'al. Please, ask me all the questions you want to ask. Amar lo, so you know what question he asked him? Atahu Hillel. Are you Hillel she'korin oschan nesi Yisrael? Are you the prince of Israel? Amar lo hein. He said, yeah, it's me. You identified me. So the man said back, Im atahu lo yerbu kemoscha b'Yisrael. You know, you give somebody a bracha, yerbu kemoscha b'Yisrael. There should be many like you in Israel. The guy says, there should not be many like you in Israel. Hello. Bini mipnei ma, he's still calling him my son. Why not? Mipnei she'avadati al yadcha arba meyozus. Because of you, I just lost the bet. Hillel answered, Heve zahir beruchacha. You should always be careful with your spirit. Kedaihu hilo shetabed al yado arba meozuz va arba meozuz. It's worth it that because of Hillel, the God of Adar, the Nisi B'Yisra, on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, asking questions of shtus vehevel. Shtus vehevel. You should lose 400 Jews and 400 Zuz. Vehillel lo yakpid. Hillel should not become angry. And I wrote in my notes, we must be of the students of Aharon at the urging of Hillel. In order to be a person of Shalom, we must embody the complementary midah of Chesed. Shalom and Chesed go hand in hand. Because ultimately, what is Chesed? What's Chesed? Where's my water? I made a bracha before. How would you define Chesed?
You don't expect anything in return.
Wait, I can't hear.
You don't expect anything in return.
That's interesting. That's how it should be. I don't know if that's how it always is. That's why we call Kvura Chesed Shal Ames, because now the Nifter really can't do anything back for you. Sometimes, unfortunately, there is an ulterior motive, although you are correct. Should be done without, that doesn't mean it always is.
Without
without being asked. Okay, very nice.
Just kindness. Chesed, just because you're doing it because Hashem wants you to, and not because what you're going to get out of it.
Just because, say it again, louder, please.
Because chesed is something Hashem wants us to do towards other people, and not to question what the person is or who the person is.
Oh, very nice. Just to do it because, actually, the Gemara says in Sota Amud, Daf Yodalad Amud Aleph, Allah, the Bedrach of Yishko in your ways, which Rashiva spoke about this morning, means to emulate the midos of chesed. You do chesed because God did chesed. I can't hear you.
An overflow from yourself.
So you're all, everything that was offered is absolutely correct, except that what I was looking for, because the nekuda of chesed, really, what all these other things stem for, is that you're giving of yourself to somebody else. You're giving your time, you're giving your money, you're giving a seat in your car, you're giving potatoes when you make potato kugel, when you do the mim vakar cholim, you're taking your time to go sit with the person. Ultimately, the root of chesed and all the things that you said are tributaries from the root or the mainstream. But the mainstream of chesed is I have to give up something of myself for somebody else. Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch, on your hand out, where's my hand up? Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch points us to the famous pasuk from Micha, Perek Vav, pasuk 8, it's towards the bottom of page 1. Higid l'cha Adam. I will tell you, man, matov. Beautiful, beautiful pasuk. I will tell you, man, what's good. Uma Hashem doresh mimcha. You want to know what it means to be an Eved Hashem? Do you have a handout? There's here. What does it mean? What does God want from you? Kim asos mishpat. You should do justice. The ahavas chesed. You shall love chesed. Vahatznei alachas imelokacha. You should go with humility with Hashem your God. So if you want to know what it means to be an Eved Hashem, so you have to do these following things. You have to do mishpat, translated as justice. You gotta love chesed. Excuse me, and if you have to walk humbly with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch has a very, very beautiful commentary, actually on the Torah, about explaining this pasuk. It's Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch to Bamidbar Perachav Pasuk of Tas for your own reference. Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch says, beautiful, ready? I wish I had a blackboard. Asos Mishpat equals Moshe. So keep this in mind. Okay, Asos, we're going to explain now. Although it should be pretty clear right away. Asos Mishpat is Moshe Rabbeinu. Ahavas Chesed is
Aaron.
And Hatznei Alachat im Elokecha would be the third of the siblings. Miriam. That's a deikas. So Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch writes.
What is Miriam?
Hatznei Alachat im Elokecha. With humility. The verse is on your handout. With humility walk with God. So even on your handout. Aso Mishpat, I bolded it for you, says Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch, is Moshe. Ahavas Chesed is Aharon. And walking with Tzanua, and it's a word that I absolutely hate translating. I do not believe it is a word that should be translated out of Lashon HaKodesh. Unfortunately, no word should be translated out of Lashon HaKodesh, but part of the curse of Galus is that we speak the languages of the place. But Tznius, I really can't translate. What immediately springs to mind, says Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch, is these three elements of our moral mission characterize our three leaders. So this is your moral mission. Oh, yes.
Where do you see that in Miriam? Where in the Torah? You see examples of her being Hathalephus.
That you see that Miriam had what, the Midah of Tzanua?
Yeah, where is that?
Okay, first let me tell you the comments of Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch, please, because he speaks about it in relation to each one of these three leaders, and at the end, if you still have a question, we'll address it. Okay, let's hear what Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch says on the pasuk.
You know where the English version of this is in New York?
Pardon?
Do you know where the English version of this pasuk is?
It would be in any Tanakh. I'm going to translate it for you again. I will tell you, man, what is good and what Hashem seeks or requests of you. But it is to do mishpat, justice, to love kindness, and to walk with humility, humbly, humility with Hashem your God. Modestly.
This is engraved in the Reform Synagogue on Park Avenue and 53rd Street around on the outside.
Engraved. That's the verse?
This verse.
Well, we should all live up to what's written here. Let me tell you, Rav Shamshur Fal Hirsch writes, these three elements of our moral mission characterize the work of our three leaders. Mishpat is the norm of justice. And he writes that justice shapes one's whole life in accordance with God's will, as outlined in the Torah. The Torah is a Torah of emes, a Torah of mishpat, a Torah of halacha, a Torah of mitzvah, and it tells you how to act. Who is responsible for bringing down and teaching us the Torah?
No.
Moshe Rabbeinu. So the verse says, this is the primary mission of Moshe. Aso Mishpat is the primary mission of Moshe. Chesed, but listen what he says about Ahavas Chesed. He translates, you asked for the English translation, and I said it's very, very hard to translate accurately out of Lashon HaKodesh. We do it because, unfortunately, as godless Jews, we don't speak Lashon HaKodesh, but you lose the essence. Rav Shamshon Felhirsch says, Ahavas Chesed, ready? Is the love of love. You have to love love. You gotta love shalom. You gotta love chesed in order to strive for it. The heart's inclination to joyfully relinquish what one is rightfully entitled to. I'm rightfully entitled to the potatoes, but I'm going to relinquish because I love love and make you a kugel. I'm rightfully entitled to the potatoes. I'm rightfully entitled to my time, but I love love, so I'm going to go out of my way to do Bikur Cholim. The willingness, says Rav Hirsch, and this is really what you touched upon, Chasya, to make sacrifices for others. And that's an akuda of chesed, that is the shoresh, the root, making sacrifice for others. These qualities, writes Rav Hirsch straight out, characterize the activity of Aaron. Aaron the sages say, no, about Moshe and Aaron the sages say, Moshe haya omer Yaakov hadina sahar. Moshe would say the din, the justice, the mishpat, the absolute letter of the law, should split the mountain. Aval Aaron ohev sham. Maybe we don't need to split the mountain. Maybe it's not Al-PD. Maybe there's room for some leniency. Who loved peace and pursued peace. And finally, Atznei Alachad Im Elokacha. So this is what Rav Shamshon Felhirsch says, and we could apply to Miriam. It means walking with God unpretentiously, modestly, and in moral purity. That's how he defines the attribute of Tznius. Unpretentiously, modestly, and in moral purity, which is the fundamental character of Jewish womanhood. And he says it was fostered under Miriam's influence. Do you still have a question?
The first thing that came to my mind was Avram, was all the psukim said he walked.
It was Avram?
Avram walked with Hashem. You know, the psukim showed.
We're Mamish talking about that on Wednesday. Are you going to be here?
No.
I'll be on Why You Torah. We're talking about his halach lefanei vehe'etimim. He actually didn't walk with God. The one who walked with God was Noach. Yish tzadik tamim haya bedoros ve'esah alokim his halach Noach. And Rashi says they walked together. He needed God to hold them up. Avram walked before God. So it will be on Why You Torah be'ezrat Hashem. Okay. I just want to point.
Miriam. I mean, we do know that she was punished for lashon hara. She had mitzvah. But I don't know that we know so much about character. I mean, of course she grabbed.
That's exactly the point.
The women,
that's exactly the point. A tsanua person is very effective in a quiet fashion. That's exactly the point. The few things we do know about her indicate who she was. She worked to save the Jewish babies. I'm just paraphrasing. The end of the pasuk. They were God-fearing. She was a God-fearing woman. She was a Yerushalayim. She had tremendous emunah. She led the woman after Yamsuf with the tambourine in her hand. The fact that she spoke Lashon Hara is a different shir for a different time, and that is on the Nakuda and the Inyan that our leaders are not sin-free. That's a whole other shir.
The beautiful lecture you gave us.
I'm not finished. Isn't that what Shai Shachter said? I'm not finished. Wait. I started late. If you want to go downstairs, I'm not going to be insulted. I'm continuing. Okay, I'm on my recorder. I was given 45 minutes for this time slot. I'm taking my last 7 minutes. But if you want to go downstairs, I will not be insulted. I understand. Okay? I just want to tell you one cool PS. Rav Shamshon Felhirsch beautifully relates this. The Gemara tells in Maseches Tainis that we got three gifts in the desert in the merit of these three leaders. Okay? Man, you can't live without mishpat. You can't live without food. Man was in Moshe's chus. It corresponds to mishpat. You can't live with the cooling cell of God, the cooling protection of the divine clouds of glory, just like you can't live without chesed, which cools and soothes and protects us. That was in the merit of Aaron. And finally, the water represents the life-giving force of the tznius, which I don't translate, of a Jewish woman. The be'er was in the chus of Miriam. In order for a person to be a person of shalom and a nation of shalom, we must be a people of chesed, which Rav Hirsch says is the love of love. Why? To foster peace and to pursue peace. which comes from love of others, means I am willing to give of myself for somebody else. That's chesed, and it leads to shalom. And the midos of shalom and chesed go hand in hand, as embodied in Aharon HaKohen. And listen to me. If we don't foster and pursue shalom, we lack shleimut. And if we lack shleimut, we will lose the city of peace. Soloveitchik so beautifully says, Hashem is a principle. Quote, you don't like it, so give it back. He says in regard to Yosef and the brothers, when did they realize they actually were a little bit sorry and maybe it wasn't such a good plan to get rid of Yosef? After. You didn't appreciate before, Hine matovu manayim shaves achim gam yachad. You didn't appreciate before, it was nice to have a brother. Okay, says the Ribbono Shalom. Let's take it away and see how you feel now. Vayakumu kol banav ubnosav lenachamo. Vayinachem lisnachem. Now, all of a sudden, they're all saying, Father, we want you to feel better. You couldn't think of this before you sold the kid? Before you threw him into the pit? Before he's on the slave box to Potiphar? Now you have charata. If we lack shalom, we are not bishleimut. And if we are not bishleimut, we lose Yerushalayim. As Hashem says, well, you're just not worthy. The city whose root word is shalom will not be ours. God says, you don't like it, so give it back. And the Gemara clearly tells us, it's on your handout in the bottom of page 1. Maseches Yuma. Mikdash Risha Mipnei Macharav. Why was the first base of Mikdash destroyed? Mipnei Gimel Dvarim Shahayibo. There were three sins. Famous Gemara. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shefichas Damim. The people were idol worshippers, they were adulterers, and they were blood spillers. How long was the Chorban? How long was the Gaal's Bavel? 70 years. You know what that means? You could have lived and seen Bayis Rishon, and you could have lived to see Bayis Sheni. 70 years in the scheme of history. The world is 5,777 years old. 70 years is like a blink of an eye.
They did see it.
Avodah Mikdash Sheni, and we're here 2,000 years later. Shahayu os, look at the Lashon of the Gemara, please. Shahayu oskin betorah uva mitzvot, top of page 2. Very, very strong words. But in the second temple period, hayu osik, we daven in the morning, lasok b'divrei Torah, they were good people. They were osik in Torah. They were osik in mitzvot. They did gemilus chasadim, mipnei me'acharav. So why was it destroyed? Mipnei shahayu sabosin eschirim. I don't like you. I'm not b'shalom. We're not in shleimut. L'lamdecha sheshkulas in eschinim keneged shalosh averos yushadav. The despising your fellow Jew. Refreifeld Zatzal says, Rosh Shiva Adashar Yashav. You want to know what sin eschinim is? I don't like you. Why not? I just don't like you. Mikdash Rishon, so the Gemara says, and Mikdash Rishon, was there any sin eschinim? And the answer is yes. Look at this. They would sit and eat some food for thought to keep in mind. The next time you're at a simcha, someone gets up from the table and everyone starts talking about them. They would eat and drink together, and then they would stab each other with the swords of their tongues. Something strong to keep in mind the next time somebody leaves the table and everyone starts talking about them.
Yeah, but it's a sira because you have
gemilut. Well, who's talking? Oh, sorry.
If you have gemilut hasidim. How can, on the other hand, you have...
Because it's the answer of what she said. Chesed sometimes has ulterior motives. I don't always... It doesn't say, look at this, ahavas chesed. It says gemilus chesedim. And sometimes people want to do a chesed because you're going to pay me back, and I need a favor from you, and I want my name on a building. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, and if I am ever zochet, I don't know what I would do. Kenai nahar, we need those people. Baruch Hashem. But sometimes that's their only motive. Is your motive to build a makom Torah, or should you be famous? Is your motive to do a chesed without ulterior motive, because you want to emulate God? Alach the bedrachav says the Gemara, leilech achar midos of shel kodesh baruch hu. Do you love chesed because you love love and you love people? Or do you love chesed because it does something for you? And it must be in this time period, there was an ulterior motive, because there was sinas chinim. I want to finish the shiur for those who want to go downstairs. I need 2 more minutes of your time, and then I will take questions if there are questions. Okay. Speaking about Aaron and his shalom and his chesed, we spoke about Rav Shamsher Val Hirsch already. Birkas Kohanim. How does the bracha end? Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemer. It's on your hand that you all know these words. God spoke to Moses and told him, you speak to Aaron and his sons. They shall bless the children of Israel. And what is the blessing that they shall give them? Yivarachacha Hashem v'yishmeracha. God should bless you and guard you. And Rashi says there on the pasuk, he should bless your possessions and he will guard that you don't lose them. The first statement in the bracha is a blessing of Gashmias. Hashem will bless your possessions. Ya'er Hashem pana ve'lecha v'ichu neka. He will show you a shining countenance and shine upon you, Rashi says there, he will show you panim tzuhuvos, which is a blessing in Ruchnias, blessing of Torah, blessing of the light of God. The first blessing is a person needs gashmis. Listen, I need to live in this world. I need water, I need a jacket, I need shoes, I need physical possessions. So Rashi says God will give it to you, and he's going to guard them that you won't lose them. And then Rashi says he will show you a shining countenance, it's a blessing in Torah. Yisa shampana ve'lecha, Rashi says kovesh ka'aso, he will Kovesh, he will rein in on his anger. V'yasim l'chashalom. It's an interesting question. Kovesh kaso should be first, not last. Why? Because after he blesses you in Ruchnias and Gashmias, and then you sit around and you complain that you just don't have enough. Kovesh kaso. Hashem won't be so angry. But the final words are V'yasim l'chashalom. Look at the Emek Davar. Such beautiful the Netziv. So Yagen Aleinu. V'yasim l'chashalom. I'm on your hand out. Achar kol habrachos. Mevarchim bekli hamachzik osam. You go give me every bracha in the world, but you need a vessel to hold it all together. Shebeli shalom. Look at his words. Ein nachas bishum bracha. Unbelievable. You could have blessings of gashmis from today till next year. You should have blessings. You'll have pokeach erim and you'll reach the highest heights of Torah. And Hashem won't even get angry with you. Beli shalom ein nachas bishum bracha. Without this element of shalom, peace, and shleimus, inner completion, there's no nachas in any bracha. The very last mishnah in all of Shusha Sidre Misha, the very last word in Shas, Mishnah Uktzin, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, what a beautiful conclusion to our shir, lo matza kosh baruchu kli machzich bracha liyisra ala Hashem. Kosh baruchu found no better vessel for holding it all together than the blessing of peace, and Emor, quoting David HaMelech, Hashem oz l'amo yitain, Hashem yivarech es amo b'shalom. I began by telling you that when I look on my window, and mamish, I was moved to tears this morning when I was davening. My husband went to Vesikin. I kept thinking I'm going to fall back asleep, so I didn't go with him. I should have gone with him, but it was Bashert that I stayed home. So it was me and Hashem in that side room, and the breeze of Yerushalayim, the city of Shem, coming through my window, and the sun is rising, and the mountains are before me, and I can see the Chomos. I could see our bayis in the Dome of the Rock, Rachmana Litzlan. I was moved to tears. Vishalayim Ircha, Barachamim Tashav. I don't have a Shemona Es like that in Chutzarts, and I don't know if ever. Saying those words, that Semech David Avdecham Meheris Atzmiach. What will be when Mashiach comes? Finally, Tosfos Yom Tov says on the Mishnah, look on your sheet. It says in the Medrash, Gadol HaShalom, what a beautiful end to our shir. How great is peace? Kishamelech HaMashiach Yavo, Eino Poseach, Ela B'Shalom. Do you want to know how the Messiah will come? Do you want to know how we will be redeemed? Do you want to know how the Mashiach will say, people, I'm here. Eino Poseach, Ela B'Shalom. Shalom Aleichem, he will say, peace unto you. And maybe when we can return the blessing of peace to our fellow Yid, with kind word, with being willing to give of myself, with working on shleimus, with ahavas chesed, with loving love, Kosh Baruch Hu will switch around. He will reverse. You don't like it, so give it back to you. Love it, let me give it back to you. We will be zochet to be a people of shleimus, to have shalom between each other. Yerushalayim ircha. Barachamim Tashuv, Yerushalayim, Yercha, to the city of peace, with compassion you shall return. I thought it was appropriate to end with the last, with a pasuk, with a parak of Tehillim. Shir Amal, so David, Hinei Matovu Manayim, Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, Kishem Anatov Al Harosh, Yoreid Al Hazakan Zakan Aharon, Sheyoreid Al Pimi Dosav, Ketal Charmon, Sheyoreid Al Harei Tzion, Kisham Tziva Adonai Asabracha, Chayim Ad HaOlam, Amen Ve Amen. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions before I shut the recording?